Psalm chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading verse 1. We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to move over to the book of Romans. Psalm 14. The Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." So if you would take your Bible now and turn to Romans chapter 3. If you would please, Romans chapter 3. Let me give you a minute to get there. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." The Lord bless your word today. Thank you for it. God, may we bow our knees to you. Lord, may we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be lifted up today. Lord, may you deal with our hearts as we need it. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. I had a couple titles for this sermon. One of them is "The Plight of Man." The plight of man, and the other one would be, if I could, I don't know which one to actually call it, but would be the God's diagnosis. God's diagnosis. The Apostle Paul here in this portion of Scripture that I just read to you is explaining man's universal guilt. And he tells us in verse 9 that both the Jew and the Gentile are guilty. We're all under sin. And you might call these passages God's examination room. This is the diagnosis or the plight of man. This is the verdict of the all-seeing God who can not make a mistake, who doesn't exaggerate. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5 that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Genesis 6:5 says that before the flood, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the bad news is this morning is man has not improved since the flood. Men and women do great things. They do noble things. They do good things. But the fact of the matter is they still come short of the glory of God. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I and mankind, we are alive morally. We're alive physically. But the Bible describes us as dead spiritually. We're spiritually dead. I remember an illustration. This preacher was preaching, and there was a young man out in the audience, and he was a smart aleck. And the preacher was talking about the weight of sin. The young man cried out. He said, "Well, how much does sin weigh, preacher?" And the preacher thought for a moment, and he said, "Well, let me ask you this. If you laid 400 pounds on a corpse down there at the funeral home, would he feel it?" And the young man said, "No, he's dead."
That's good.
And he said, "That's why you don't feel the weight of sin."
That's good.
The person who doesn't know Christ is dead in their trespasses and sins. Unregenerate souls are dead in trespasses and sins. True Christians are not bad people made good. True Christians are dead people made alive.
Amen.
True Christians are dead people made alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That's John chapter 10 and verse 10. And that's what man needs today. That's what lost folks need today. They need life. They need quickening. Jesus said, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." That's John chapter 5 and verse 21. I want us to consider this diagnosis that God gives, this plight of man. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul said, "As it is written." This is the authority of the Word of God. "As it is written." And I've got several points this morning, and I'll try to hurry, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but you'll get the gist of the message. Number one, there is none righteous. There is none righteous. Verse 10 tells us, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." In case somebody wanted to argue, God put that in there. No, not one. Not one person is righteous. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Our best day, our righteousness, is like filthy rags.
Amen.
There is none righteous. Then secondly, the Bible tells us here in verse 11, there is none that understands. There is none that understands. Not only is there none righteous, there's nobody understands. The Bible explains it as this: professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Men and women in an unconverted state are, as the Bible describes them, foolish, disobedient, and deceived. I'm here to tell you today that God has to open a person's understanding. God has to open a person's understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." God has to do that. That's a miracle, by the way. When God reveals his Son to someone, it's a miracle. Paul was given a commission. You know what the commission was? to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sinners need their eyes opened. Sinners need their eyes opened. Can you open someone's eyes? I'll answer that for you. No. You cannot open someone's eyes. God has to do that. We're dependent upon God. We're dependent upon God. There's none righteous. There's none that understand. Number three, there's none seeking for God. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 11 again. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. It says that in Psalm 14, and it says that again in Psalm 53. There's none that seeketh after God. Now you, in your experience, you might say, well, I remember the day I started seeking for God. Well, I've got some news for you this morning. If you did seek God, it's because He sought you first. Because the Bible says, if you believe the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that seeketh after God. No one wakes up one day and decides to seek God. The reason is that men love darkness rather than light.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is the light. As a matter of fact, in our natural or carnal state, we not only do not seek God, we seek to get away from God. We seek to get away from God. That is our natural state. Just like Adam and Eve hid in the garden. They wanted to get away from God. I told you that illustration. I read it in J. Vernon McGee's commentaries. It's a good illustration, though. He said years ago, one of the southern churches had a black slave had been saved. So they brought him before the church before they baptized. They just wanted to make sure he understood what it meant to be saved. So they asked him, he said, well, tell us what happened. He said, well, I did my part and God did His part.
That's right.
And the deacons kind of looked at each other because that's not a good answer. He said, I did my part and God did His part. And they said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I ran from God just as hard as I could and He chased me down.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm going to tell you, folks, that's the fact. If you're saved today, it's because God came after you.
Amen.
We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
There's none that seeks after God. Matthew Henry said, the carnal mind is so far from seeking after God that it is really enmity against God. It's really enmity against God. There's none righteous. There's none that understand. There's none that seek after God. There's none that does good. Verse 12, notice this. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You know what? We're all going the wrong way by nature. We're all going our way. And you might say to yourself, well, not everybody's bad. But the fact of the matter is, if there's a difference in men and women, it's only by the divine restraint of God. In other words, if we were left to ourselves, it's no telling what we'd be. God says in His book that we have sought out many inventions. Isn't the world wicked today? I mean, even the television commercials aren't fit to watch. There's nothing that's clean. There's nothing that's wholesome. Everything is... Man has sought out many inventions, have they not? The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. I want to tell you this morning, mankind's not slightly misplaced. Man is hopelessly lost.
Amen.
We're hopelessly lost. The Bible says we have altogether become filthy. We have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewn out for ourselves broken cisterns. That's how God describes man. There's none good. No, not one. Man in his unregenerate state loves darkness rather than light. And that's the condemnation. That's the condemnation. You know, a person outside of Christ is guilty in thought, word, and deed. Thought, word, and deed. That's what one old preacher said. He said, you might not have done as bad as another fella, but you're just as bad. It's in there. That sinful nature is in it. I remember a friend of mine was witnessing to a person. And it was an elderly couple, and he sat down with his Bible, and he said, you know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good. There's none that doeth good. And the man jumped up, and he said, don't you say that to my wife. She's a good person. Well, I've got news for you today. Unless you can see yourself as a sinner, you can't be saved.
That's right.
Unless God brings it to your heart that you are not a good person. As a matter of fact, I've got news for you here. God doesn't save good people. He saves sinners. Now, to me, that's a comfort. Because I'm a sinner. Has there ever been a day in your life where God revealed to you that you were a sinner? You say, no, I've always been a good person. Friend, there's something wrong if that's the case. He didn't come into the world to save good people. Let me say that again. He didn't come into the world to save good people. He came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Unless you can take your place with the sinners, there's no hope for you.
Right.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
Amen.
You got to see yourself as a sinner, friend. There's no other way. There's none righteous. There's none to do with good. There's none to understand. There's none to seek after God. And I want to tell you something else. The Bible tells us here in this passage, there's no hope in the law.
Amen.
Look what it says. Verse 19. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. There's coming a day, folks, that there's a great day coming when everybody in this room and everybody you know and everybody that's went on and everybody that's going to go on is going to meet one day and they're all going to stand before God and every mouth's going to be stopped. I thought about that. Every mouth is going to be stopped. And I thought to myself, Lord, if all I can manage to do is to get down on my knees with my face on the ground and point to Christ, because He's my only hope.
Yep.
He's your only hope.
Yep.
The Bible says there's no hope in the law. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If you think you're being saved by keeping the law, you're in a bad shape, friend. For one thing, you can't keep the law. You might keep it today, but you won't keep it tomorrow. You might keep it tomorrow, but you didn't keep it 10 years ago. We're lawbreakers. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Galatians, and by the way, the law never could save. The Bible says. Never could save. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by good deeds. I've said this many times. I like good people. But good deeds won't save you. I like people that try to keep the law. I mean, I don't think you ought to steal and kill and run around on your neighbor's wife. And I think you ought to keep the law, don't you? We shouldn't bear false witness. I like people that are good people. But I can tell you right now, that won't save you. That won't save you. The heart is deceitful, isn't it?
Yep.
The heart is deceitful. We can never be justified by the law. And doing good works. You could start out tomorrow. This is the time people do it. Evelyn's trying to get me to commit some kind of nonsense. This is the time people do it. Starting January the 1st, I'm not going to eat any more Little Debbie cakes. People make all kinds of New Year's resolutions, don't they? Won't you just admit it? We're weak. In our best efforts, we can't even keep a New Year's resolution for a month. Good works can never save. If you started out next year saying, I'm going to be a good person, I'm telling you, you'd fail. You'd fail. Listen, I'm not talking about you could give to charity. You could be good to your neighbor. There's all kinds of good things people can do. But I'm talking about the righteousness of God. And none of us will ever meet the righteousness of God. All our best efforts are going to come short, aren't they? There's none righteous, there's none that understand, there's none seeking after God, there's none that does good, and there's no hope in the law. And I want to tell you, most importantly, there's only one cure. There's only one cure. Turn over a page to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. I'm telling you what God says about man. I'm not telling you what man says about man. I'm telling you what God says about man. Man says, well, we're all pretty good. You've got a little spark of goodness in everybody. That ain't what God says. God said there's none good. No, not one.
Amen.
God said there's none that seeketh after God. God said there's none that understandeth. But I'm telling you, there's a cure today. In verse 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the good people.
No.
Isn't that what your version? What kind of version? Is that what your Bible says? Y'all need to get a new Bible. That one's messed up. Whatever y'all read.
Huh.
What's the Bible say?
Ungodly.
The ungodly. The ungodly. I'm telling you, that needs to be brought home to people's hearts, doesn't it? That Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that? That's the cure, isn't it? Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The question this morning is, have you received the atonement? Have you been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else matters. There's nothing else matters. This is the only hope. This is the only cure. There's not 10 ways. There's not 3 ways. There's only 1 way.
Amen. Preach.
And that's through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that outside of Christ, we are the enemy of God. The Bible says that outside of Christ, we are spiritually without strength. The Bible says we are rebels. We'll not have this man reign over us. And we're under God's wrath. We're condemned already. A lost person is traveling the broad road, Jesus said. Now let me give you a little insight to that. Not only is the lost person traveling the broad road, they like it. They like it. When I was a teenager, I used to sing, "I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell." I liked it. I used to sing, "Hell ain't a bad place to be." I'm telling you, I was on the broad road and I liked it. The sinner outside of Jesus Christ is on the broad road. And they're condemned already. The Bible describes us as having a wicked heart full of pride, malice, and envy. The Bible says that we have a wicked mind. And the Bible describes us as without hope in the world. Well, there is no hope in the world, is there? Helpless and without strength, spiritually dead, the children of wrath. And that's not my opinion. Jonathan Edwards describes sinners as walking over the pit of hell on a cobweb. That's what we are. Man left to himself is without strength. How bad? What's the plight of man? What's the diagnosis? Well, let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." And he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." In other words, if a person comes to Christ, it's because he did something. As I said earlier in the message, nobody ever got up one day and decided to seek after God. God has to initiate it. He has to initiate it. God has to do something. God's glory is to resist the proud and to give grace to the humble. Let me tell you, man's only hope. Let me tell you, if you're lost today, your only hope. Sinner's only hope is to cry out to mercy from God.
That's right.
That's our only hope. Is to cry out for mercy. I tell you, you hear people say, "He said the sinner's prayer." Well, let me give you a good sinner's prayer. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
I'm not against a sinner's prayer, but I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart, repeating a prayer won't save you. You have to believe on it. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I remember, and I'm quitting, but I remember I was raised in a Baptist church all my life pretty much. I had repeated a sinner's prayer when I was a kid. When the preacher come to my house and talked to me about my soul, I told him, I said, "Preacher, I'd just like to get saved." He was making small talk. I just wanted to cut to the chase. I said, "Preacher, if it's all right with you, I'd just like to get saved." He did what all Baptist preachers do. He got down beside me there by my fireplace hearth with his Bible and read me some verses, and he said, "Would you like me to pray with you?" And I said, "Preacher, if it's all right with you, I'd just like to pray myself." And all I can remember saying is, "God, I'm sorry." I don't remember saying anything else. I just got down on my knees, the tears flowing down my face, and I said, "God, I'm sorry." Can I tell you something? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
In other words, I didn't have to repeat some long prayer. God heard me. Because God sees what?
Heart.
The heart. I'm just trying to tell you today, the way to God is not through repeating the prayer. The way to God is through your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You can confess Him later, but the first thing you've got to do is believe, isn't it? You've got to believe. There's nothing you and I can do to help save ourselves. There's nothing. The hymn has it right when it says, "Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet." That's all we can do. Here's the good news, folks. I've told you a lot of bad news today. If I was the doctor, you wouldn't like me. You'd say he doesn't have very good bedside manner. You'd say he's a good doctor, but he's rude. I got some good news. The good news is there's help through Jesus Christ. I told you the bad news, but the good news is the gospel. The good news is he's still able to save. He's still able to save. I got news for you. He's still saving people. Don't ever give up. Amen. Right, Lynn? Don't ever give up. He's able to save. The good news is, He died for sinners. He died for sinners. It's a great thing, folks, to lay your head down at night and know if something had happened, you'd be with Jesus Christ. Because I got news for you, something could happen. We don't have a guarantee of the next minute, folks. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the facts. It's a good thing to know, isn't it? It's a good thing to know. I hope you know Him this morning. I hope you're trusting in Him. I hope you're not trusting anything of your own, because it won't work. It won't work. Let me just say, I'm quitting. It's late. I got to say this. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing.